I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 118 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. As Kelvin puts his cup down and makes a banging noise, I am with Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello, I have just put down my glass of water. Apologies for any background noises there. Yes, I do need to drink, you know, otherwise I get a nice dry throat and I'll be coughing and, you know, no one wants to hear that.
So. And we are in the echoey office as well, which makes it even worse. Anyway, today's is... and I'm Andy White. Mention that very briefly. Today is questions and answers.
Yes.
And we have three questions, two of them audio, one of them a paper question. And let's get on with the first audio question. Let's roll it.
Hey guys, it's Colin Gray here again. Thanks for answering my question the last time around. The podcast site's going well, so hopefully the page rank is growing as we speak. Got a quick another question, because I work on a few different sites at the same time. I'm working on a leather sales shop at the moment that I'm starting to run called pampiano.co.uk. Basically, I'm interested in a slightly less SEO-related question, something you probably know a bit about, and that's how you organise your SEO efforts. So I'm just kind of starting to promote it. I'm just starting to link build. I'm doing all the different things at the moment. How do you organise the tasks that you have to do over the first 3 months, the first 6 months or so for a site like that? Like, do you use to-do lists? Do you use any sort of calendar tips? And any tips on how to organise a SEO campaign would be really useful, especially from the point of view of a few different types of a few different sites at the same time. So how you would remember to, like, what stage you're at with each different site. So hope that wasn't too long a question, and I look forward to your answer. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question how you manage the different tasks that are required in an SEO campaign, and also doubly more complicated if you've got lots of multiple websites to deal with. So I'll tell you a bit about how, in Site Visibility, the agency that I work for, how we deal with that. Now, what we do is we kind of have, for each individual client, a project plan, which is essentially an Excel spreadsheet, or sometimes it's in a Google Doc, and it varies. And essentially, that's a list of to-do items, which we can kind of check off and, you know, keep a track of what it is that we need to do. Now, they're quite difficult to put together, and that kind of comes from experience of what it is that you want to do. But in a simple sense, I'd say, okay, well, you know, get a list of all of the technical issues that you want to deal with and make each of them a to-do list item, and then take something like a list of link building tactics that you've got that you think would be relevant, and then add each of those in there as well. And essentially, we, you know, because we'll go, you know, we've got a certain amount of you know, work that we want to do each month, we divide that up. So it's like, okay, well, you know, there's too much to do in that month, so we'll move that into the month afterwards, or that campaign would coincide particularly well with that event that's taking place, therefore we'll move that forward, and vice versa. We then use some kind of internal software to keep track of that. Now, there's, you know, we use a couple of different systems, and there's a couple of alternatives as well. So we use kind of a version of Raven SEO to kind of report and keep track of a lot of our SEO efforts. And when we're doing link building, we keep track of the links we've requested in there. It keeps track of the rankings of the keywords we want to rank for. But it isn't particularly good as a kind of a task manager, Raven SEO. It's kind of more of a, you know, kind of reporting software. So we use another kind of system there as well to kind of do that. That's kind of, you know, a bit of a unique one that we use internally, where basically, so like a campaign manager, a strategist would decide for each client what tasks they want to do in a month. They write down all those tasks, they put them into a project plan. Our operations manager then takes those tasks, delegates them out amongst the team, and, you know, make sure everyone, they then get a task list of all their tasks, roughly how long they should take it, what work it needs to apply to, and all that type of thing there as well. There's lots of systems out there that sort of will allow you to do stuff like that. In this particular case, I think Basecamp probably would be a good option. Basecamp, which is kind of quite an affordable system. The downside to Basecamp is it's not particularly good at tracking time. So for us, we always like to know, okay, well, how long did we think a piece of work would take? How long did it actually take? You know, and vice versa. Were we quicker on that than we anticipated? Were we longer? And just helps with all the planning, really.
It does track time, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's not as effectively as some of the other options out there. But I think for most people, if you're kind of just a solo or a relatively small team, Basecamp, you know, is very, very effective and very, very cost effective as well. That I think really adds in its favour there as well. There's some other systems that have come out recently that are quite useful. LinkDex, which is kind of started out as a link analysis tool. They've added some kind of project management software functionality to it, which I've seen recently and been quite impressed with. So you can allocate tasks to individuals within a team, which is quite useful. SEOmoz have one that sort of provides that functionality as well, like a campaign management tool. So there's a lot of different options out there to keep track of it software wise, but fundamentally it comes down to having a good idea of what it is you want to do. And, you know, you can do that in whatever way is most practical to you. I would say sit down, remove yourself from any distractions, and just get up the website that you're dealing with and think about all the issues, all the potential things you could do. Potentially get a couple of people in a room, because that's how we do it most frequently. Is one person on their own will come up with one good set of ideas. They might come up with 10 good ideas. Another person on their own might come up with 10 good ideas. You put three people in a room and you'll get much more than they would have done individually, and the quality of the ideas will be that much higher because you spark off each other.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I just had this sudden idea. Are no two sort of SEO projects the same? I mean, is there a standard template you could follow, or is everyone different?
I mean, there's certain elements of a campaign that you know, might be similar across campaigns. You know, there are certain tasks that we tend to repeat, but it's not a kind of one size fits all. And, you know, I think, I mean, I don't know whether this is the same in every agency, but at Site Visibility, we don't kind of come about our tasks necessarily as a like a list of possible tactics and then we're like almost ticking them off. We tend to, particularly with the link building, we use a couple of frameworks, and we've chatted about them a bit before, but they're kind of, the main one that we use most frequently to build links is the theme strategy or theme methodology, as we use it, which is kind of, we start by saying, so it's an acronym, because every marketer loves a good acronym. So the T is for the tribes. Okay, who are the various audiences of the website? And that's kind of subgroups. So for a particular website, it might be, you know, they might have 20 different tribes. It's not just demographic stuff like male and female age 25 to 35. It's kind of more specific than that. It might be like, so say you're working on I don't want to give too many details away about particular clients, but say you're kind of working on a financial services website that kind of does savings accounts. You might have people retiring being some of the investors, people who have, you know, inherited some money being some of the, you know, so that's kind of more what I'm talking about as a tribe. So like people who have inherited money might be a tribe, and, you know, people who are, you know, retiring might be a different tribe, and people who have, you know, just, you know, sold their house might be, you know, so it's kind of relatively small groups. So you're thinking about that particular group. Then the H in the theme is the hook. So what about your product, services, website, business appeals to that tribe? You know, so it's kind of, what's a USP of you to that group specifically? There needs to be a connection there. Some websites don't really have that, and at that point you've got to say, well, are these tribes we're talking about right, or is the business that we do, you know, good enough? Because if you've not got a unique selling point to the tribe, you can't target them. So that, you know, is kind of a process. And in the tribes, we might do persona development. In the, you know, the H, the hook, we might be doing proposition development and bits there as well. But then once you've got those two bits, we then go, okay, well, what's an engaging piece of content you can produce? Now, that engaging piece of content might be a podcast, it might be a blog post, it might be a white paper, it might be some guest posts. It's basically something, an asset, if you will, that is link worthy. But what's interesting about that is it not has to just be link-worthy in its own right, but it has to appeal to that tribe that you're trying to, you know, you see as a potential group of customers, and somehow exemplify your hook. So, for example, we've done some stuff with a travel client, you know, so their tribe is kind of, you know, people, you know, backpackers, for want of a better description, people going on kind of longer holidays. Their hook is, okay, well, we're the cheapest place to find, you know, these types of holidays. And then they're then going, okay, well, what can be the engaging piece of content? And we're working on kind of, okay, well, here's a route planner if you're going to, you know, five European music festivals. Mm. So you tick which music festivals you want to go to, and then it shows you the nearest, you know, hotels and tourist destinations and all these types of things. And that's good because that's an engaging piece of content. It's link worthy. It embodies the hook. It's about kind of cheapness and convenience, and it appeals to a particular tribe. So that's quite effective. Then the M is the marketing. So what are you going to do to promote that? And each of these engaging pieces of content needs its own marketing technique. And it might be outreach, it might be PR, it might be social media seeding, it might be article writing. So you're writing articles pointing to that particular piece of content. And, you know, you're limited. You're only limited by your imagination on what the marketing of these pieces of engaging content would be. And then the E, the final E in the theme, is evaluation. So how effective was that piece of work in its own right? And that's the way we try to work. It's then say, okay, well, we're going, okay, well, who are the tribes that we're trying to target here? So the personas. So, okay, here's this tribe. We know what the hook is. That's the kind of the upfront bit of work. And then each month we can say, okay, well, what engaging piece of content can we produce this month? And then maybe next month it's all about the marketing of it. And the month after it's about evaluating it. It's on like a 3-month cycle and kind of got bits of work tying into
that. Can you have multiples of those instances of those cycles going on at the same time?
And that's limited by the amount of, you know, time, effort, creative ideas you've got. And if you've got lots of ideas, you've got lots of time, you can do pretty much all of them. So, yeah, no, it's that's the way we tend to work in putting those tasks together.
Well, Colin, I hope you found that useful. Let's move on to the next question, which is a paper question.
Uh-huh.
You may hear paper rustling. Hi, Kelvin. Here is a question for your next Q&A.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Lee was quoted in a major online publication, but the story was hidden behind a paywall, as much of the magazine's online content is restricted to subscribers. Do I still get the value of a link back in Google's eyes from the online feature, or does the paywall prevent spiders from reading the story from a search perspective? Keep up the good work, and thanks for the great work organising Brighton SEO. Chris Lee, Managing Director, Planet Content.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question because more and more websites are implementing paywalls or, you know, content that's behind membership areas of the site. And the short answer is it depends, but on the particular setup of the paywall in question. But in most cases, I would say that you're not going to get any SEO benefit from that because Google, it depends how the paywall's set up. Are Google indexing that page? And if they're indexing that page, it's in their results. Using something like First Click Free or, you know, various options that are out there, they might be indexing it. But if you, the short version would be how to find out is take the URL of the page where you've been quoted and drop that in, search for it in Google, maybe put site colon and then drop in the URL after that.
Of course, yeah.
And see if it's being indexed and being cached. If it's being indexed and cached, you might get some value from it, but the chances are it probably won't be if it's behind a paywall. Now, there's two ways it can work, because when you block content to the search engines, you can block them from indexing it and you can block them from following it. So when you can add a piece of code to your page which says no index, no follow, which says don't index this page and don't follow the links on it. Some pages can be set up so it's saying don't index this page, but do follow the links. Right. But my gut instinct is in this case where the page is behind a paywall, unless it's being properly cached, it won't be passing any value. Having said that, many of the big national newspapers, like the FT and all those ones which have the paywall, they do let Google index all their content. And at that point, because what they do is they let Google index every single page, and then they restrict you once you get there if you view too many pages. And
oh, that's
like sometimes you can work your way around a paywall by following certain versions of the link and that kind of thing. If that's the case and they are indexing it, you might get some value from it. But if it's not being indexed, unfortunately, you're probably not getting any value from it. Having said that, there is the potential that even if it is behind a paywall, it might well be being scraped and mentioned on other websites. So it's not quite as good as the original link would have been, but it's better than not being there at all. It's tough. But if Google aren't, if they don't see the page, how are they going to know the link's there? They've not got the password to go into every paywall and know what's behind there. That's the reason why the paywall's there, to restrict people's access to it. So it's a shame. Well done on getting the mention in, a high quality website, but paywalls unfortunately quite often mean that you're not going to get the value from that.
Oh well, not to worry.
No, sorry, Chris.
Let's move on to the next question. Actually, we've saved the best for last.
Yeah, well, this actually isn't a question, really. It's more of a tip. Yeah. So I think, yeah, Tim, I'm really not sure. Here's the question for Tim and for the listeners. There's some background noise in this, and me and Andy effects. Having some debate as to whether it's a sound effect or whether it's real. I think we're both veering towards
they're real. They're real recordings, but yeah. I think they've been put in post-production. That's okay. My theory.
Okay, and I'm kind of like, I probably agree with Andy, but I would like to believe that Tim did record this in a great big chicken shed. But you've given it away now.
You've spoiled it.
I've spoiled it. Rewind the podcast and just wipe your memory, everyone. Yeah. Don't ignore that. It's a great tip here. I think Tim, wanted to share this, practical idea that he'd got and it's been implemented. It's something we sort of touched on a bit in Clockwork Pirate. Which you can download from clockworkpirate.com. It's a really interesting tip and one that I think will hopefully be inspirational for lots of people who are looking to try and build links to their website.
Okay, let's roll it.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Kelvin. It's Tim Daniels here from the website poultrykeeper.com. I'm at one of the many UK poultry shows working on my link building technique. No, that's confused you, hasn't it? Well, let me explain. I've found many websites in the poultry world are often personal web pages, and I've been struggling to get good links from these guys, so they don't really understand the benefit of a link or why I would ask for a specific anchor text in a link, for example. And I've tried a number of methods of link building that you've suggested, but came up with this cunning little plan to get those oh-so-valuable one-way links. Good quality photos of the breeds of poultry are always in demand, so I've been getting as many photos as I can of the show-winning birds and the rare breeds and so on. And I use a photographic background and lights that have set me back a few hundred pounds, but the resulting pictures are highly desirable for people to use on their websites. I've placed these for sale for a small fee in our shop, and the owners are generally happy to pay for the high-resolution download. This just about covers my fuel costs to get to the show. But the trick for the one-way link is to make the lower resolution image that's displayed on the site free to use on their own website, providing they credit us in the form of a link. This isn't something everyone could do, of course, and there is work involved in getting the photos, editing them, uploading them, but it does provide a slow and steady supply of one-way links, which I feel are very valuable. I'm a big fan of the podcast, by the way, and if my site wasn't a hobby site, I'd definitely be up for premium content. Thanks very much, guys, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. I mean, I think, as we were talking about earlier, engaging pieces of content, photographs are a great example of that. People will link you know, they're getting something of value, and you know, there's an exchange going on. You're giving them something of value, i.e. the images, and they're providing payment in the way of the links. That's a really good practical way of doing it. Photos are a great way of doing it. Videos are a great way of doing it. You know, I think, you know, like hotels, for example, if they had some great images of their town, you know, that they operate in, they'd be able to get links off the back of that. Same for, you know, if you're an online retailer and you're just using the stock imagery that comes with the product, maybe you should do some of your own photography of the products and allow people to use that on blogs and websites if they review the product, if they link back to you. There's a lot you can do where you're exchanging kind of assets in return for links that work very well. So yeah, a good investment, a good tip, and hopefully one that people could see might work for them.
Thank you very much. While we're on the subject of pictures, what do you think about places such as Flickr and what was the other one? The Google one.
Picasa, isn't Picasa, it? Yeah. I mean, I use photos quite a lot from Flickr. We do on the site of his blog, and we link back to, you know, the source of them. Then you know, it's there in the image link, so there's some value there. But what's happening there is we're using images and we're linking back to Flickr. So it's Flickr that's getting the benefit, not the publisher of those images. But, you know, we've done a few campaigns with clients where they've got extensive image libraries and use them quite well. Flickr can be good as a means of getting your images out there. You can maybe put them on Flickr with a kind of watermark and says to remove the watermark, you can use this version elsewhere, and to download that, you have to link back. So, images are a great way to build links. Flickr is a great way to find images that you can use. And you know, if you can combine the two, you're normally onto a winner.
Have you heard of Smug Mug?
No, I've not heard of that one. No, what's that?
I have. I don't know a lot about it though.
Okay, you've heard of it.
Well, no, I think it's like it's a bit like Flickr, but I think it's aimed a bit more at sort of more professional photographers. Okay. I've probably offended a whole load of people now by saying that.
Okay,
but it's worth having a look as he gets his teeth back.
Nice one.
Smug Mug. I think it's .com. But I think that wraps it for today's show.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, and just to say to people as well, we're always looking for questions to cover in the audio podcast. So do keep them coming. There's the phone number that comes up at the end of every show, which allows you to phone in and ask an audio question straight from your mobile landline, which we'll drop into the show. You can always send us MP3s or good old fashioned written questions, and we answer as many as we possibly can. And the email address to send them to is Kelvin, so that's kelvin.newman, Newman spelled newman, at sitevisibility.com, which is sitevisibility.
You were straining.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Despite working at the company for nearly 5 years, sometimes I do still spell the name wrong. But no, it's all I's. There's no A's in ability, which is where most people tend to go wrong there. But do keep those questions coming. We love answering them. I know the listeners love hearing other people's predicaments and hearing the answers to them.
Especially
it makes chickens. Makes the show great. So do write in. Do send your audio questions. We love them.
Yes, and all those details will be repeated at the end from that funny bloke that speaks at the end. So I've been Andy White, and I probably will be next time, and he has been.
I have most certainly been Kelvin Newman, and I can imagine I will be for the foreseeable future as well.
So that's the end of Internet Marketing, and we'll be back again very soon, brought to you by sitevisibility.com. Goodbye, see you next time.
Bye!
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.